All right, Tim Blankenship, Divorce 661 Daily Perspective, Episode 61, Day in the Life of an LDA. I am a paralegal, if you will, providing affordable legal divorce. Let me start over. I am a LDA / paralegal, providing affordable divorce solutions throughout California. And I do these videos for you to go over consultations, questions people have, issues people are going through to maybe help you in your divorce if you're trying to do it on your own. I always like to say thank you to those who are past clients and those future potential clients for watching our videos and your trust in me doing this and handling your divorce for the last 12 years. We always start off with the stats for the week and the month and the year. We're just in the first week here of April. Six consultations today, probably 24 or 25 we've had for the week. Three new cases today, 11 new divorce cases for the week, and 138 cases we've handled so far for the year. For today, we had, of the three new cases, one was a judgment prep, so a rejected judgment issue, and I'm going to be going over one of those today with you coming up next, and two were new cases. So I want to say Orange County was new, San Diego case was new, and the LA County case was a reject where people started their own divorce and then it became rejected. So let's get into, I want to share my screen today for just a bit. And then we're going to go over the discussions that came up. I have a lot for you, by the way. We're going to be talking about, so you know what the discussions are, filing for divorce in California when you're the petitioner living out of state. Should you wait to file for divorce till your child turns an adult? Can you have custody for pets? What else do we have here? Another judgment review issue due to issues, true default case issues. When a child is born before marriage, how you have to handle your divorce case. And then we're going to talk about fee waivers as well at the end. So let's get started into the screen share here. So I have, you can't see the client information. That's to protect the innocent here. But I want to go over this and tell you that this is what is going to happen to your divorce case, most likely. Some scenario of this, the people that call me to take over their case has some issue like this. This is one of the worst ones that I've seen in a while. And I'm going to go over this. Hopefully you see my cursor and explain to you what these issues are here. So I want to say I'm like Neo in the Matrix, if you've seen that, where when you call me and you have a filed case, when you schedule a consultation, I ask what your case number is. So when I have the call, I can have already reviewed your case summary. So this is all I see. I don't see your images. I don't see the specific information, but I do see what's been filed. So as you can see, I just see the date and what the document was that was filed. There's no names on here, so you don't have to worry about that. So what I can see prior to the call was they filed the petition on June 30th, 2022. This is just the forms that go along with it. Summons, case cover sheet. So we already know there's no children, and these are the four forms that get filed for LA County. They also filed the fee waiver at the time and the proof of service. So this is where normally people will get to that call me to take over the case. They've done the initial filing, they've served it, and then they'll call me. But some people, the other half that have started their own divorce, will try and go all the way through to the judgment phase. So what I can see here is, again, they filed and served. The petitioner did their declaration of service, declaration disclosure. And then there's this weird, then they tried to file the request under default and it got rejected. And how do I know that? Because they tried to file it again. And then the weirdest thing I've ever seen is they filed an amended summons. You cannot file an amended summons without filing the amended petition. And then they try to turn their default again, along with a judgment package. This was, and after talking to them, this was rejected again, and the entire judgment package was rejected on 2 days ago. And then they set up this call, and I went over this. So without ever even looking at their paperwork, I can tell you exactly what's going to have to happen here, and let me explain what that is. We have to completely start over, because in speaking with them, there were some names mixed up or misspelled in the summons and petition, which was the issue here, which happens a lot. They served it, which is the good news, because we don't have to restart the 6 months, but we do have to refile. Because they filed this amended summons without the amended petition, this is now taking this initial filing's place. So what we're going to do is, when they hire me, we have to start from scratch. I have to file another amended summons and petition, which then has to be reserved. And then we have to wait the 31 days, And then we can file the default with agreement type divorce case. They are in agreement. They're trying to get through the divorce. They're just having trouble with the procedural nightmare of getting through a divorce can be. So again, they are agreeable and they're having all this trouble. 2022 divorce case. Talk about this all the time. 2020 cases, 19 cases, 10 years old, 20 year old cases. Those folks didn't know that they weren't divorced, but this is usually what happens. And then people get frustrated and they just stop, which is what they said happened. Because you can see there's no activity from, you know, July 13th until April 4th of this year. And they're picking it back up. This default was rejected because not only because they filed this amended petition, but that's definitely a reason, but because of the errors that were in the initial filing in 2022. So the correction will be starting from scratch, amending the summons and petition, refiling, reserving, waiting the 31 days, and then turning in their default with agreement, settlement agreement, divorce case. The other issue was the consultation I had was with the respondent, and she thought there was nothing she could do because she hadn't responded to assist with the case. And they were treating this as a default without a written agreement. And I see this so often. And how do I know they're treating this with as a default without agreement? Is because it says judgment package received, FC 2336, which that shouldn't be on there. That means that they checked that box on the 180. That's wrong. But if it was a settlement agreement, it would have said stipulated, and it's not. The other indicator that this was not that this is a default without an agreement. Is see how they filed, where is it? The service of preliminary declaration disclosure by petitioner. The respondent also has to file that form. So that's an indicator that this is a default without an agreement, which are the most challenging cases to get through the court, which I talk about all the time. So not only will the fix be to start the case over from scratch, but it will be a default with agreement versus default without written agreement. All right, so that was one big thing I want to talk about. And that's what I do all day long is assess these cases and see what the corrections are. And the funny thing is, you know, when you retain me to take over your case that you have messed up that bad, it takes me twice as long to fix everything and review everything and assess what needs to happen than just if I had started your case from scratch. Imagine if these folks hired me. I've been doing this 12 years. Imagine if these folks hired me in 2022, they would have been divorced in 2022. This would have been long over with. Okay, let me talk to you next about some of the consultations and discussions that came up from today, because a lot of them are not repetitive, but it's good to talk about them because it's gonna, if these folks have these questions, I can guarantee you have some of them as well. So number one, shouldn't number these because I didn't number them. Let's just say first thing, can you be the petitioner if you are the spouse living out of state? I've had folks in, it doesn't matter the state, I suppose, but just off the top of my head, Arizona, different counties even in California. So can you file, say, in LA County if, say, you are living in Nebraska, but your spouse is living in California? Can you be the petitioner and file the case in California? And the answer is yes. Only one of you has to live in the state to file. And there's reasons you would want to do that. If the kids are in California, then you definitely want to have the case filed in California so there can be custody orders. Otherwise, the court won't have any jurisdiction over being able to do that. That's been an issue where people have filed their own divorce paperwork in the past. And I want to say in this instance, mom lived in New York at the time for like 6 months or a year. Then they filed the case in California. And then they hired me. So it was one of these kind of default cases where they try to start their own divorce. And they, I said, the first thing, kids haven't, when you filed, the kids were not in California. And there's rules on where the kids have lived the previous 6 months. And it gives the court the jurisdiction to have custody orders. So when that happens, you cannot have custody orders. The court doesn't have jurisdiction to make custody orders. And so it becomes an issue. You have a divorce case with no custody orders. That's how we get them through. But ideally, you would have talked to me first and I would probably have told her, don't file in California, file in New York. But that was an older case a couple of years ago, but that's just what came to mind. But yeah, you can be the petitioner and file in California if you're in another county or another state, or I don't want to say another country, but it's technically true. We have a lot of military folks. They're technically their residence is in California or another state. They're not obviously living abroad. They're just deployed. And for those cases, we file those in the county that's appropriate for them. Next subject. This came up on a consultation. Should you wait to file for divorce if your child is almost an adult? So yes, you can. But the reason for the question and the reason this came up in a consultation was, and fortunately it found a video of mine to say, hey, it makes no difference. But they are saying, we don't want to file for divorce and have to have custody orders and child support. And that's fine. If you guys are amicable and you have children, and even if they're 17, I want to say they were 17 and a half. So in like 6 months, you know, it's going to be a non-issue, but nothing has to change when you go file for divorce. If you guys are amicable and you don't want custody orders and you don't want child support orders. And that was the reason they didn't want to file until they came across my video that says totally fine. Nothing has to change. There is going to be a custody order, but it's just going to say joint legal and physical custody. It's not going to be any detailed parenting plan. And then for the child support, we simply say none or reserved, depending on the county. So not a big deal. So, and that was the trigger I saw just before starting this podcast that she had hired me, which they were going to delay the divorce another 6 months until 18, but that they didn't want to if they didn't have to. So we were able to get their case started today, which I'll be taking care of you as soon as I'm done with this podcast, I promise. All right, next subject. Can you have custody for your pets? And the answer is yes. Had a consultation with someone today who had their full agreement, who's keeping what, assets, debts, no alimony, no child support, no kids, whatever. Their biggest discussion was the dog. And I don't know if you've seen, I started a new kind of podcast format where I'm walking my dog, definitely dog lovers, 4 Labradors later. This will probably be our last one. But anyways, we get it. Dogs are our property, as it were, when it comes to divorce in California. So, but you can definitely include any language you like related to that. So the big issue was, I think the wife was going to move out of state and they both love the dog. And that's what they're fighting over. Not about their pensions or anything like that, just the dog. So he said, Tim, can we have some type of custody order agreement in place for the dog? I said, absolutely. No problem. Do that all the time. And so I think they're going to have like a 3 month on, 3 month off type swapping out of the dog. Not a problem. Don't make that the reason you guys don't go through an amicable divorce. Yes, you can have custody. Now, the other thing is, can you have like a dog support plan? Can you have money as like a child support order in there? So yes, we had this week, in fact, we had a couple who had 9 cats. And the husband was going to take care of the 9 cats indefinitely. And for that, the wife was going to give $50 a month per cat until they passed, you know, until each one passed away, to help with the maintenance and food and medical care and, you know, all that goes into having a cat. So yes, you can have custody orders, like who has possession of it, because keep in mind, pets are our property in a divorce. So it's, we can include that there will be this exchange or 3 months on, 3 months off, or even a monetary amount of money going to the other spouse for the care and control of the pets. So that's not a problem. Next subject. And this is a little bit more detail on that 2022 divorce case I shared with you on my screen. 2022 divorce case where they had just turned in the judgment. It was rejected due to errors on the petition and now have to refile. So that was the other thing I want to talk about, but I want to talk about separately because, like, how did this divorce case filed in 2022, how did they not know until April 2024 that there was issues with the petition? And the reasoning is the court does not review your paperwork when you file your initial petition or any document thereafter until you turn in the settlement agreement, judgment package, and final paperwork. That's the first time the clerk's office is going to pull your file, review your summons, your petition, and make sure all of the stuff you filed prior to that is good to go and not going to affect the judgment the judgment itself. In this case, it could be, and in this case, specifically, it was they spelled the names differently on the summons and petition. And that's an automatic have to refile. That's what I was talking about earlier. There's no way around that. You have to correct the names by refiling. Fortunately, they had served the paperwork in that case. So the jurisdiction date started So the 6 month clock started, even though it was wrong. So it won't reset the 6 months, but it will. We do have to wait 30 days and we do have to refile and reserve. So just know that if you're doing your own divorce and you're going through the process, whether it's 3 months, 6 months, or in this case, 3 years, then just know, not until you're going to think everything's going fine. File a petition, great. Proof of service, great. The first indicator will be when you try and turn in your request in our default. If that goes through, then usually your summons and petition and proof of service were good. But that will be your first indicator. I turn all our paperwork in one final go. I don't break it into steps. I don't do the summons and petition, then serve, and then do the disclosures, and then do the judge. I do all of that. So I do the initial summons and petition, and then I get a case number sheet, and then I do all final paperwork from start to finish, and you have you guys sign, notarize, and all that. And then it just gets submitted and it's done. And we don't have these issues, obviously, because we're not making these same mistakes. But when you're doing your own divorce and especially if you're, I guess it doesn't matter if you're handwriting it or typing it, you're not going to remember how you did the names on the summons and petition. For instance, let's say on the summons petition, you use Tim S. Blankenship for the petitioner. And then 3 months later, you're going to start working on the judgment paperwork. And on the form you write Tim Scott Blankenship, because you're not going back to remember what you wrote on the last time. And that's where the issues can occur. All right, next subject, stop doing true default cases. What's a true default? It's a default with no agreement. Half the problems you guys are having is you're in agreement, meaning to the terms, whatever they may be, but the petitioner is not involving the respondent in the divorce case. The default without agreement, or known as a true default, are the most difficult cases to get through the court. I even hate dealing with them. Whenever someone calls me and I'll look, like in that case, that judgment or that reject summary I showed you, it was clear to me that the respondent was not being part of the process. Not because they're not in agreement, but because they think it's easier. And I hear this all the time. I thought it'd be easier to involve my spouse. Absolutely not. In this case, I said, look, are you willing? It was the respondent I was talking to, first of all. I said, are you guys in agreement? You're going to sign the paperwork? She said, yeah. I said, then that's an easy fix. No problem. We do have to start over, but it's an easy fix. But stop doing true default or default without agreement divorce cases. The likelihood of you getting that through was not 100%, but it increases by about 50%, because you're still going to make other mistakes on your paperwork. I'm just sorry to say. There's just so much that goes into getting these easy divorce cases through the court, because it's still a court of law. All right, next subject. Every divorce needs a settlement agreement, even if you have no terms, even if you're not dividing anything, even if there's no spouse support, even if you're just keeping your own stuff. One of the consultations today, and it might have been the same case, I asked, I said, it doesn't look like a settlement agreement was submitted. She goes, oh, no, we don't have a settlement agreement because we're not dividing anything and there's no support. So, no, we don't need a settlement agreement. Yes, you do. You still need a settlement agreement to state exactly what you just said. You at least need a property order that says there's no property being divided, and you need a spousal support order that says there is no spouse support. And if it's longer than 10-year marriage, there's some additional language you have to put in. But yes, you still need a settlement agreement if you're doing a default with agreement or uncontested divorce case, even if just to state that you're each keeping your own, that's what you have to say. Next subject. I had 3 cases this week where a child was born before the marriage. No big deal. But what you need to know is you need to attach a declaration of paternity. What is that? When the child was born in the hospital, you got a birth certificate. It's not what I'm talking about. But you guys signed a declaration of paternity where the father said, I'm the father of this child. Because it's not presumed, the father's not presumed to be the father, am I saying that right? In California, unless you're married. So in order for your divorce to go through, if you have children born before the marriage, you either have to attach the declaration of paternity that you got from the hospital. And if it's 15 years ago when they were born, you probably don't have that. And so you're not going to have that document to be able to finalize your divorce case. With my clients, I drafted a stipulation that replaces a declaration of paternity. And so it's an additional document I have to draft and prepare for both petition and respond to sign that basically duplicates the language in the original declaration of paternity. So like I said, no big deal. But if you don't turn in the declaration of paternity with your judgment attached to the 170 and indicate on there that the parentage is being established on the 170 and the 180, just that alone is cause for rejection. And lastly, I want to talk about fee waivers. Let me know on the consultation if money's tight, if, you know, let me know what's going on financially, because, and it doesn't have to come up. Not everyone's going to be in the scenario, but let's look into seeing if a fee waiver is applicable for you. Some of the couple things that are automatic fee waiver approvals is unemployment. It's not, you don't have to prove it. We don't have to show them that you're unemployed. You just mark unemployment and you're signing under perjury declaration, you know, penalty of perjury. Food stamps, if you receive those, IHSS, Medi-Cal, things like that. There's some automatic ones. There's also like a low income qualifier based on how many people are in your household and total household income. If you're below that, you qualify, you know, and we can massage the numbers a little bit. I want to talk to someone today was right on the bubble. And I said, you know what, we can massage the numbers a little bit. It was like a $20 difference. Said, you know, it's not verified. We don't have to provide pay stubs or anything like that. Nothing crazy like that. But let's take a look and see if a fee waiver is applicable for your case if you fall into that kind of category. Now, what if you're the petitioner and you're working, but the respondent is not? Say there's a stay-at-home mom or someone's unemployed or someone's between jobs, or maybe you're a realtor who has no listings. I consider that unemployed. I mean, we could even stretch the truth and say, wait, do you work on Saturdays? This is what I said to someone today. She said, no. I said, okay, well, you're unemployed on Saturday. Let's do the paperwork. I know that's not true, but it was a joke. So, but if the respondent isn't working or one of you is not working, let's make that person the petitioner. That way we can do the fee waiver based on unemployment because you're not employed. That's just the way I do things here. You know, I'm on your side, not the court side. Keep that in mind. Court side sounds like basketball. Now, I'm on your side to help you guys navigate the divorce process, get through this amicably quickly as possible. As long as you guys are in agreement, we'll sign a settlement agreement or cooperative. I don't care if you have 10 kids, 10 homes, 20 pensions, stocks, you know, all the way down to you've been married for 2 weeks and we've done those divorce cases too. The only complication that ever comes into play is you. If you guys are amicable, cooperative, in agreement, we'll sign off on everything. I can handle your case. I hope you enjoyed episode 61 of the Divorce 661 Daily Perspective, Day in the Life of an LDA. Happy Friday. Have a great day.